Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Hollywood Hustle Show. I am your host, Nye McGee, aka Nye Hollywood, coming live from the middle of nowhere in America. In case this is your first time tuning in and you aren't aware, let me school you really quick. I'm an entertainment reporter I'm an entertainment reporter by day, screenwriter by night, hustling my way through Hollywood until I land the big score. And what is the big score, you may be wondering? My name and bright lights on the big screen, of course. Hollywood Hustle Show every Friday is, you know, I call this the Tinseltown Tea, where, you know, I refer to my industry colleagues, industry players, all my notable creatives and journalists and bloggers who have serious connections behind the scenes. And I pick their brain about what's really been going on, what's really being said about the headlines, the current celebrity headlines, what's dominating the media. Of course, today, the tea I'll be spilling, I got a couple of tidbits about Johnny Depp, Tom Cruise, and Russell Crowe, and singer Brandy, Bradley Cooper, and that model he's supposed to be dating, Irina Shayk. How do you say her name? Shayk? I've kind of dropped the tea about them last week, I think, in a previous show. And she's just causing all sorts of drama with their arrangement, which I will touch on coming up here. We have a couple of wonderful guests joining us today. I've kind of extended the hour by half an hour. You know, we're normally on every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific. That's L.A. time, 2 o'clock if you're in Chicago, which is where I'm from, 3 o'clock if you're on the East Coast. But today we're going to go a half hour longer because I have two guests joining me today, and I think Redbeard, my occasional co-host, will be joining us later with his Indy 15, and I think he has a guest coming up at the top of the next hour. So, as you know, the Hollywood Hustle Show is here to help content creators and their stars take their craft to the next level. As I said, I'm your host, Nye Hollywood. I'm here every Wednesday and Friday. My Friday shows, like I said, is all about Friday shows are all about spilling the tea about what Hollywood is whispering behind the scenes regarding the latest headlines, and on Wednesdays, I try to have guests, colleagues, industry players come on to share career advice, talk about their hustle in the business. The call in this hour, 646-668-8342. Is something pearl clutching? You clutching your pearls right now about some news you just read or some news you read earlier in the week that just left you just gasping, honey? You want to talk about it? You feel like we should talk about it today? Call us up. Again, 646-668-8342. And if you have questions for our guests, coming up in the next half of the hour, a really dear friend, although we haven't met yet, okay? We haven't met, but my really dear friend Robert is going to be joining us on the call. And I see both of my guests are on the call now, so we're going to have to figure this out because I don't want them to overlap. But my friend Robert Elcock, if I'm pronouncing your name right, if not, you will check my ass when you get on the line. Robert is one of the collaborators behind an upcoming documentary entitled Congo Cabaret about queers, fabulous gays, and the Harlem Renaissance. It's a short music video adapted from a novel by gay writer Claude McKay. There was a Kickstarter campaign launched for this project, a very successful Kickstarter campaign. And Robert, we're going to get Robert on the line here soon. Robert, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, I thought you were going to call in maybe around 30 minutes or so, so just hang on for me. I'll get you on the line as soon as I can. But before Robert, I want to get to Wiley the screenwriter. That's what I know her as, a dear friend, again, that I met on social media. She's going to chop it up with us really quickly and briefly about filmmaking, Black filmmaking. She's a Black filmmaker. She's going to join us today to talk about the business. She recently completed studies at a, I'm going to say prestigious, because I think anytime Black folks go to London and study to make themselves better and great at their craft, it's prestigious, darling, okay? So she went to some prestigious college, some prestigious university in London, and became classically trained in filmmaking and writing and screenwriting. So Wiley, the screenwriter, is going to be joining us. I think she's on the line here. Wiley, I'm just going to refer to you, Wiley, as Wiley. Of course, you can correct me, darling. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you? Thank you for joining the Hollywood Hustle Show.
I'm great. Thank you for having me. How are you doing, darling?
You know what? I can't complain. Did I give you the proper introduction, Wiley the screenwriter? What would you like our listeners to know you by?
Shackle Heart is fine, but you're welcome to call me Wiley the screenwriter. That's what I get called in London as well, surprisingly.
Right?
Oh, Wiley. I'm like, okay.
Well, Wiley is here with us. We're going to chop it up about filmmaking and such. And what I'm going to do really quick is just I'm going to put you on hold for a really quick second. I'm going to check in with my other guests. Here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to give everybody time to kind of catch their bearings, tune into the show. I'm going to play a quick song right quick, check in with my other guest, Robert, to confirm his time, his schedule, and we'll move the show right along. So I'm going to play a quick song. And I will be back in 1 second.
Music make you lose control. Music make you lose control.
Let's go. Double take, planet rocker, showstopper, flow popper, head knocker, beat scholar, tail dropper, do my thing, motherfucker. My Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, blue Medina, always beaming, rag top, chrome pipes, blue lights, out of sight. Long weed, sold in, say it again, sold in, make that money, throw it in.
And let it go, for you know you gon' hit the flow.
Yeah.
I rock to the beat till I'm
fire.
The walk in the club is
fire.
Get it crunk and wired. Wave your hands for
louder.
If you slip inside up, bring the roof down and holler. If you tipsy, stand up. DJ, turn it louder. Take somebody by the waist and let's throw it in the face like hypnotic, robotic. This here will rock your body. Take somebody by the waist and let's throw it in the face like
automatic.
are back. What's going on here? Yeah. Okay. Hollywood Hustle Show. Nye Hollywood is here. I'm just looking at my control deck, guys, making sure you can hear me. Wiley, are you there? You are back on with the Hollywood Hustle Show. Happy Friday to you, darling.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Les.
All right. So you know what? Listen, I thought about you having you a guest on the show earlier this week. You posted something on Facebook regarding filmmaking, and I know you and I have chopped it up every once in a while on Facebook about Black Hollywood, filmmakers, Idris Elba, to be exact.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, I know just like me, you are aspiring to be a creative in this business, a screenwriter to be specific. And, you know, I kind of wanted to invite you on so that other creatives, regardless of their gender or of their race, can kind of, you know, hopefully be inspired by what we talk about, or if anything, it will open up, you know, maybe channel, redirect the way they think about the business, approach the business, and approach their craft, especially
gotcha.
A lot of us, you know, a lot of us,
yeah.
we're independent filmmakers and creatives, a lot of us, and I know with the demise of independent films, you know, it's been more challenging for new talent, especially
yeah.
non-white, you know, especially non-white filmmakers to tell their
yeah.
stories, you know, and gain entry into the movies, you know, major studios. But, you know, over the years, women like Ava DuVernay and Gina Blythewood and Victoria Mahoney and Issa Rae, you know, they've been serving us vital narratives, and the audiences are eating it up because we're thirsty for it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, Wiley, that here we are, you know. Let me ask you something as a Black content creator. Do you feel Black
okay.
filmmakers, do you feel like Black filmmakers have a responsibility to their culture? In other words, do you feel being a creative person requires that you give back to the community or tell a particular story or not tell a particular story? Why or why not?
I believe that we should tell the stories that the narratives that don't fit Hollywood's stereotypical view of us. Those are stories that I write. Those are stories that I see because that is my life. I grew up as a military brat, and I traveled the world with my parents. And there are things that I've heard in my experiences that would remind you of Jason Bourne. But that character, that female character, is not in a movie. You know, it's mostly given to white men, and that to me is a strong hidden secret. There are plenty of non-white people who have undergone similar narratives, such as Jason Bourne or something like The Transporter or any, you know, these action movies that keep being made. And the reason it's hidden is because the Hollywood and the media, they like to groom people into thinking that it would only happen to a certain type of person, which is completely untrue. It's going to happen to people who are available at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we talk about what it is that we see. There's a reason why The Wire did so well. It's because it gave the reality that that area of town saw when it came to drug trafficking in their town. And it related it to the police department. It related it to the investigators. It related it to how they all work together. And there's a bunch of stuff that happened. I just recently read about a killer that was allowed to, you know, was allowed to kill Black prostitutes in Los Angeles. And the police knew about him. He worked for the police. Everybody thought that this killer was a mechanic. So he had access to these individuals. The police knew who he was, but they let him go because it gave them access to something as well. And that's a pretty common story, even overseas, where they would the police department in, you know, the Middle East or some foreign country, there would be a killer. They would arrest them, and then two or three days later, they would just let them go. So the police would have something to do. It was kind of weird.
Wow.
It's how they siphon this money through to get to themselves, and how it goes from one account to another. And it's just amazing what gets done under the guise of, well, that's not something that such and such does, or that's typically what people do. So I see it as, it's very important that we acknowledge that sometimes racism is a cover-up, and to me, in my opinion, it's always a cover for all the other stuff that people don't want to talk about. So if you sit up here and say, well, it doesn't usually happen to somebody like that. I mean, that's one of my least favorite, but also, you know, I'm being sarcastic. It's my favorite thing that people say, well, that sounds very, you know, that sounds like something that they would do. And like the most likely they have a chance to do it because you don't think they would. So It's important, all their perspective, because we all have a different life. And sometimes from what I've seen so far, being black and being female, it does give you a different, people do treat you a certain way because you're both of those things. So I don't know how you could tell the story without it being related to your being black and your being a woman or being male.
Absolutely. Now tell us why, now I know you went to London to study screenwriting, to get a degree in screenwriting. Now, Where are you from? Now you said you were raised all over the globe, being a military kid, but where's your primary base and what motivated you to pick up and go to London? And kind of talk about your experiences as a black woman studying screenwriting in London.
Okay. So many years ago, probably around 2009-ish, 2010, I decided to continue my filmmaking. And I put it down because I thought, well, it's not anything. It's not much. It's a phase. It'll pass. It never passed. And I didn't touch it for like 10 years. I'd even gone to California to be an actor. And the year that I went to California, that was the year they did the writer's strike. So nobody was working. So this was not going to work for me either. So I was back in Tennessee, and I did two short films. And by the time I finished those, I think it was around 2013, and I said, well, what's the next step? Oh, we need to go to school. So I started looking for a school. It took me about a year to find a school. And I was paying attention to the way that Hollywood was hiring. I noticed that they were hiring people or actors from overseas. And I was like, well, why are they doing that? And I didn't know about the agreements that Hollywood has with London. And it turns out there isn't. We have a separate agreement compared to the versus the one that London has with the rest of Europe. Or the EU. London and the EU have one type of agreement. London and the UK and the United States have a different type of agreement. So when Brexit hit London last year, it does not affect the agreements that we have with the United States. So it's the way that Hollywood was doing it. They kept hiring people from the UK. So I said, I'll look into going into the UK since that's what London likes, and that's what Hollywood likes to do. And I ended up finding a couple of schools, and I picked this one. And so I picked a London Film School, which is part of the Metropolitan University of London. And after researching it, I found out that I could get a staff. It was a Great Lakes loan from the United States, the government. So they paid for the school. Loan from there, and I went overseas, and I enjoyed my time in London. I was there for a year. I worked part time on the weekends, and there's a lot of stipulations that come with going over there because they change so many of their rules. You know, unlike here in the United States, where you come here and you get a job in London, you can't do that. You have to go customs after customs. You pay your immigration fees so you can have free health care while you're there. And you can only work a certain amount of hours, and you cannot have a job there unless you have documentation. And you have to be able to prove that you can afford yourself. You can't go to London with finances in your bank account. They won't allow it. You can't go without proof that you've been accepted into school, unless, of course, you're going for a visit. Then you can only go for, like, up to a month or so. I mean, there's a lot of strict regulations that they follow when you go to London. And every time you go to London, if you're catching another flight, everybody goes through customs. So it was a wonderful experience. And, I think I did the right thing. I was Elba Eminent at Cumberbatch while I was there. before 2015 was up, and I'd only been there by that time for about 2 or 3 months. So it was incredible, and it was nice to be in a area that really was trying to respect the craft. They really enjoy what they do. They love what they teach. You know, we had a whole class that was about Alfred Hitchcock, and it was really interesting to hear from all these different perspectives and all these artists who were filmmakers themselves, and they were the ones teaching the class. So it was an amazing experience being there, and that was the reason why I picked it, was because Hollywood was hiring everybody from London. So I said, well, maybe I need to go to London to get an education so I can get hired too.
Right on. Now, how do you think, how does, in your opinion, how does where you live influence how and what you make in terms of your creative writing? And how do you think living in London has affected or currently affects your work and writing process?
Where you live does truly affect how you see the rest of the world. My traveling and meeting people allowed me to meet people, and it really depends on what region you're in. When we moved down south, I realized these people down south, they don't really want to move. They don't want to travel. And that causes a very strict, limited belief system where you just believe that whatever you believe is correct and you don't challenge yourself. Living up north in Washington State, near in and out of Seattle and Bremerton and Tacoma, up there, it can be similar. I mean, there's similar people all over the world. And because of where you choose to stay, it can influence how you see the world, which can influence your beliefs, which can influence how you write. So if you're choosing to stay in one spot, then your stories are going to all be related to one another. Realistically, you're not going to have a lot of differences in your stories. But if you travel, then you can add certain things, quirks, centricities to your characters that probably wouldn't have been there if you stayed in one spot. For me, all it meant was, I have multiple interests, so I get to write about multiple topics, and my stories are not similar. I tried very hard to keep my stories from sounding and looking alike.
Mm-hmm. Now, and let's touch on that briefly. What genre do you tend to gravitate, what do you like to write about?
What usually comes through is something that's very suspenseful, closely on the tiptoeing on realism. So the stories that I've written about so far, they deal with a lot of realism and topics that seem to be a little taboo, but from what I've researched, they're true topics. There's a law in several states where the age of consent is 16. So I'm finding it very interesting that very few people challenge that, and they just go with it. And like, so 40-year-old can date a 16-year-old legally in the state that I'm in right now. But that 16-year-old can't drink, can't vote. If we're looking at medically, the body, I found out on PR that a bunch of scientists got together and they decided to see, if girls are really smarter than boys, and it turns out they start off that way, but boys do catch up. But the most important thing they found was that the human brain is not fully formed until the age of 25. So here you are, the government allows you to drink, and your brain is getting alcohol, and it's not even done,
Mm-hmm.
So these types of topics are what I write about. There's quite a bit of realism and suspense, because a lot of them are very much related to truth.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you get angry at movies, what sets you off? are there common qualities in cinema today that you dislike? And of these qualities, is there something you try to avoid or rebel against in your own work?
What I want to do is write characters that are stereotypes. So I've noticed there's going to be a couple of action movies led by women. Okay, that's great. They're written by dudes, which is sometimes not so great. There's already two that are related to this quest for the female lead to go after a kid. And that's like their push for her to be this active lead character in her own action movie. It's related to a child. I just think you can have a action-led drama without it being related to a person being maternal. Not a lot of women are maternal. So I think it's kind of silly that that's how they wrote it. Or that's how they're writing it. They might change it. It's not set in stone yet. Or there's the idea of hiring all your friends to be in your movie. You know, I think that's the most annoying thing of all. It seems kind of lazy to me when you're writing a movie and you just hire everybody that you know. And I think it's fine if they're, you know, actors, but if they fit inside the world that you're making. But it just seems kind of lazy just to say, oh, well, my friend is so-and-so. That's great. Does your friend really need to be in this movie? You know, is it something that's going to work for the audience? So there's not a lot that sets me off, just like a couple of things, and those two are definitely it, is when you make a part for someone for a female character and then keep reminding everybody, oh, by the way, this is happening because she's a female, instead of just saying it's happening because of her qualities, it's happening because of her conflict within herself. You know, she is, Brave is a great example of that. You know, they're saying, well, in the movie Brave, well, you're supposed to get married. You're supposed to pick these people. And she's like, I don't want to do that. Why? I mean, did you even ask me if I wanted to get married? Did you ask me if I wanted to have some kids? I got three snotty-nosed brothers. I love them dearly, but I don't want to be around any children. You know, this is what should not be just because someone has a vagina doesn't mean that that's, like, on their face. You know, that's not their whole purpose of living, is their uterus and their vagina. So anytime a movie writes a female character like that, I'm annoyed.
Mm-hmm. And Wiley, really quickly here before we wrap up, if there is one or more elements that you think would make the film industry better, what would it be and why?
Just to be accepting of what's new technology-wise, there is still a lack of this ability to accept the next whatever that's going to happen. I mean, this is the industry that, when presented with DVDs, said, oh, no, people are going to continue buying VHS. No one's going to buy DVDs. And so some people actually lost their careers because they didn't switch over from VHS to DVD. And then it moves on again to now we're doing streaming. Well, this industry didn't prepare itself for the next step in technology when it came to entertainment. So they're, you know, this industry is still behind, and they have to find a way. You have to write the laws, the entertainment laws, to get that caught up, because people are streaming. And the very beginning when streaming happened, when people were downloading things, you know, the industry was like, it's stealing, you're stealing. Well, some people were working for the companies that were claiming that the stuff was being stolen from. It was the companies themselves downloading their own stuff into the internet. So they just have to learn to stay caught up with the latest technology, and they'll be okay. But they're having a hard time with it because they're very old-fashioned still in certain areas.
Now, as a black content creator, let me ask you really quickly before we take a quick break here. As a black female content creator, and I know a lot of black creators, content creators, we don't like the label black content creators. We're just writers. We're just filmmakers. We're just producers. We're just directors. We don't like the black being put in front of it, and I get it. However, we live in an industry that's always going to put the color and the gender before the actual title, you know? We can't avoid that, people. So, Wiley, let me ask you, in your opinion, what do you think, what are some of the, when you take note of the material, the content that black filmmakers are putting out, whether they be directors, writers, producers, male or female, what are some of the issues that you find troubling that we explore? I mean, are there topics you're tired of that you're ready for Black content creators to abandon? In other words, to sum it up, what are your thoughts on the current state of Black filmmaking?
Okay. I think it has a lot to do with the lack of being creative. I've watched a lot of stuff online that a lot of productions where it's kind of the same thing repeatedly from different people, and this has a lot to do with thinking that it's not being done. This has a lot to do with not digging for a unique story. So it's not. It also has to do with finding out, you know, how they get their money, because sometimes the only way to get the money to do a production is to do certain topics. Sometimes people think they're funny and they're not. Sometimes it is of, you know, where they're at and, you know, losing ideas and not being very creative with what they're presenting. I think that's the strongest issue that all of Hollywood has with all these redos and revamps of old movies, and we're gonna do a remake of this and that, and I'm like, okay, and it's a similar thing with Black filmmakers as well. It's not half of what is presented is not original, so we just have to keep finding something that's original for each individual with us and not try and represent everybody because we can't.
That's right. Wiley, the screenwriter, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Hollywood Hustle Show. Yeah, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your ideas, sharing your opinion about this business, and most importantly, what you shared with us about your traveling to London and studying. I found very enlightening, and I hope our listeners did too. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. I'm on your show now. It's wonderful to finally talk with you on the show.
Absolutely, darling. Well, I know you're a busy woman. I won't keep you on this full hour, but you are, of course, welcome to stay on. I'm going to, but I appreciate it. If you drop the call, I'm going to put you on hold. If you want to stay on, you can stay on and listen to the show, or you can come back in the next hour to chop it up with us. If not, if you drop the call when I put you on hold, darling, thanks for calling in. Happy Friday. You have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I'll put you on hold right quick. And if you're still listening, I'll hit you up during the break on Facebook in your inbox to find out if you want to come back on in the next half hour. We're going to have Robert on after the quick break. Redbeard, my co-host, has finally joined us. I think he's there. Redbeard's got his Indy 15 coming up at the top of the hour. In about 30 minutes here, he's going to have a guest on. And then before we get to a break, Redbeard, how are you? How are you this Friday?
I am great. You know, it's a fabulous holiday weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we can keep the city safe, violence-free. But overall, I'm 100% today. I'm ready to get the Indy 15 started with my first guest today, King Boomer. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned in to hear that. We're going to talk about a little acting, a little music, a little life. You know, he's involved in several things, so we're going to get the scoop on him. And, you know, I've been listening, so, you know, I'm going to keep my ears to the Hollywood Hustle no matter where I'm at. Good job today.
Okay, now before, I'm going to take a little break. We're going to come back and get Robert on the line. He's been patiently waiting and listening. Thank you, Robert. But, of course, the Tinseltown Tea Show here on the Hollywood Hustle Showdown would not be what it is if I didn't drop a little tea. And, of course, before I drop the tea, I have to say allegedly, because we don't want to get sued around here, folks. Now, if you're following me on Facebook, I did drop the tea a couple weeks ago about Johnny Depp. Your boy Johnny Depp allegedly is not doing too good, people. I've heard again, confirmed with my friends yet again. Right now, Johnny Depp is promoting this Pirates of the Caribbean, the next installment of the franchise. And, you know, it's no secret that Johnny is struggling. He has been for years struggling with, you know, alcohol issues, drug abuse. And apparently now it's really, really, really bad. So much so, people are really concerned about Johnny, you know, making it through the end of the year, you know, as far as enjoying life fully, You know, he's had to miss out on several press appearances lately for the Pirates movie. They're telling me that he's showing up with fresh track marks in his arms. You can see them. Even a couple weeks ago, I talked about this on the show. He did a red carpet interview with Entertainment Tonight. You can find it on YouTube or Entertainment Tonight's page, looking really effed up. He could barely hold a conversation. He was slurring his words. Eyes were bloodshot. He was wobbling. Let's just hope Johnny can get the help he needs and continue to deliver dynamic performances. Another quick scoop I want to drop, or should I save that for when we come back? Yeah, let's save that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, add Robert on the call. Robert's going to come back and talk to us about his fabulous queer project that's celebrating gays and lesbians and the, all things fabulous and our community of brothers and sisters that love each other and the Harlem Renaissance, right? I'm going to go talk about that. And I know that was a mouthful, and you're probably like, what? Nah, he's doing what? We'll let Robert explain. Quick break. We're going to play one of my favorite songs ever, The Pixies, Where's My Mind? Hollywood Hustle Show. I'm your host. Be back in like 3 shakes of a lamb's tail, baby.
Stop.
Hollywood Hustle Show. We are back. I'm your host, Nye Hollywood, a.k.a. Nye McGee. Joining me now, okay, I have to give him the proper introduction, my wonderful Facebook friend. We met on Facebook, Robert. Of course, when I met him, he was the Forbidden Light. But now he's just Robert, I believe. Robert, are you there, darling? He's there. I've connected him. I don't think he can hear me just yet. I know he is in Guadalajara, and he did mention about his microphone connection, maybe, you know, weirdness. But Robert, you are on with us here on the Hollywood Hustle Show. If you can hear me.
Hello?
Wait. Hey.
I have to do what you tell me not to do. I'm using my internal mic.
Uh-oh. Well, I can hear you.
I am somewhere very peaceful. All you can hear is a fountain next to me.
See? I love it that you have picked up from Northern California and gone to a whole nother part of the world. How long have you been in? You said you're in Guadalajara, right?
That's right. I just touched down this morning. This is day one.
Wow. And how long are you going to be there?
21 days, 3 weeks.
Wow. Now, is this personal or business?
Well, you know, I like to do what I like to do personally and then make it business.
Okay.
So
got it.
I do have some things I'm working on here in Guadalajara while I'm here.
Well, let me go ahead and give the folks, the listeners, if you're just now tuning in, if you missed the top of the hour, my introduction about Robert. Robert is one of the collaborators behind an upcoming documentary entitled Congo Cabaret. The project explores queers in the Harlem Renaissance. It's a short music film adapted from a novel by gay writer Claude McKay. Now, they launched a Kickstarter campaign for the project to raise production costs to cover the cost for a scene in the documentary. According to the Kickstarter page, the campaign was elevated to a favored Projects We Love status, which gave it more visibility, right? Which is awesome. That status gave the campaign more visibility, and I'm happy to say that I checked the campaign today, and you guys surpassed the $10,000 goal. How wonderful is that?
Yes, so wonderful. We're still pushing to get as much as possible because, you know, Kickstarter, they want their cut.
Absolutely. So, and I posted,
we're trying
you're trying to get more money so that everybody comes out even.
That's right. That's right.
Now, listeners, I posted here on the Blog Talk Radio radio homepage of my Hollywood Hustle Show. In the comments section below, if you scroll down, you'll see a link to the Kickstarter page for the Congo Cabaret. There is still time to donate.
Yes,
but of course,
four more hours.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to get your perks, guaranteed to, we're going to make it. It's happening.
Now, Robert, let me ask you something. Why is this an important story to tell, this Congo Cabaret? Why is this an important story to tell?
Well, first off, we're taking a different approach to documentary filmmaking. This film, or this particular scene, Congo Cabaret, is a historical recreation of what the clubs were like in a Harlem Renaissance. You know, back in segregation, you know, it was unfortunate to have a country embrace exclusionary practices, but the bright side was that you had all of these African Americans that had to rely on each other. You know, you had unemployed Black people next door to Black doctors, you know, everyone partied together. You know, to this day, when you go to Black parties, we're famous for having the best food. And that's because, you know, we weren't welcome to most restaurants. So we had to provide our own food, our own cuisine. And we definitely know how to throw a party. So what's really important about Congo Cabaret is to not only highlight what it was like in that period of time, but also highlight, like, the beginning of us really becoming trend makers, trendsetters, pioneers, and a lot of those people happen to be queer also.
Now, what are some of the themes or issues expressed in this project, and specifically those that are important to the gay, lesbian, transgender community.
Well, in regards to queerness, gender, things of that nature, the point we're making is that, you know, 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago, you know, they were as progressive, if not more progressive than we are. You know, they had hits that included themes that involved bisexuality. There's Foolish Man Blues, where she sings about mannish acting women and skipping, twisting, woman acting men. We deal with, we have men that dress up as women and the vice versa, the reverse. I mean, we just want to show that, you know, our history goes way back. You know, there's so many youth out there that feel like or made to believe that they're the first people to invent being gay. You know, there's so many kids out there who feel like they're the only ones to ever feel this way or be this way or have this kind of identity. So we want to show through Congo Cabaret that 100 years ago, we were still fierce. We were still killing it. We were still slaying. We want to show the performance value, you know, the mother of the blues, Ma Rainey. You know, we're going to use one of her songs. And we just want to really, I want people to feel proud of themselves. I want us to have that ancestral lineage that we can line ourselves up to.
Hollywood Hustle Show. I am your host, Nye Hollywood. You're listening to my good friend Robert talk about his Kickstarter project, Congo Cabaret. 646-668-8342. You can call in if you have questions for Robert. Our first guest, Wiley, the screenwriter, decided to stay on. She's still on, too, in case she has questions for Robert and his project. Or, listeners, if you enjoyed the first interview with Wiley, you can call in and ask questions for her, too. Robert, tell us really quickly, how did you get involved in this project, and what exactly is your role? Are you an actor in the project?
I have a very dear mentor, Philipson.
Oh, you're breaking up there a little bit. Hold on. Let me just wait. Okay, I think you're breaking up there a little bit. Can you hear me okay, Robert, right now? Yeah. Robert, you're still on my line, but I can't hear you. So,
how about now?
Okay, I hear you. I got you. So go ahead and repeat that. You got involved how?
Yes. I have a dear friend by the name of Robert Philipson. He has his own film production company, Shoga Films. He's a mentor of mine. He's the one who got me into the film production game. He told me which classes to take, and you know, he's been there, kind of letting himself be vulnerable. A lot of the stuff we're doing, both of us, for the first time, so we're learning together. He's a great researcher, and he does a lot of documentaries about African American history, about gay history, and stuff that I just never heard before, you know, stuff that I wish I'd known when I was a kid. So it just really made me feel compelled to help him and push this out so more people can get this information. And I'm taking on a co-producing role, so I'll be behind the scenes as part of the crew. But, you know, I might be an extra. You might see a cameo.
So what's the goal? You guys haven't started production yet. You're going to raise – no footage has been shot. What is the goal with the project in terms of after you get it in the can,
uh-huh,
what are the filmmakers, what are the creators intending to do with it? Is it going to be just posted on YouTube or used as an educational piece and you know, colleges, universities? What's the goal?
So we're actually taking a very new approach to documentary filmmaking. And we're taking a more anthology perspective. We're going to have different directors doing different historical reenactments in addition to just telling the stories about County Cullen, telling stories about Langston Hughes. We're going to talk about Carl Van Vechten, you know, a lot of the characters that are in the Harlem Renaissance. And we have some serious names involved. We have a scene that features a very young David Diggs. And he plays, he's in Infants of the Spring. And he does voiceover narration. But this is way back in the day before he was famous. We also have Daryl Stevens of Noah Ark fame. He's going to be in Congo Cabaret playing the lead character. And we also have directing Congo Cabaret, The Gospel. If you know of the DL Chronicles or if you know of Chadwick Journals, they're the masterminds behind that. They're this fabulous married couple that are also producers and directors. And they're on board very generously to help us make this vision come to life. So ultimately, you're going to have a documentary that's going to feature a lot of different voices. You know, we're reaching out to a lot of different Black queer directors to get involved. And ultimately, we're going to have not only something that pays homage to the queers in the Harlem Renaissance, but we're going to be pointing to who's going to be leading the next renaissance when it comes to Black queer content.
Now, Robert, speaking of that, do you feel that Black queer content creators have a responsibility to the culture, both the culture of Blackness and then the Black gay culture? Do you feel that being a Black gay content creator requires that you give back or tell a particular story?
You know, this may be outside of the context of film, but, you know, I grew up in a church, and every church had a gay choir director and had a gay organ player and had gay singing in the choir. But their presence there isn't enough when you have someone on the pulpit spewing, you know, hate speech about gay people. You know, their presence isn't enough when all they do is provide, you know, good music, and then they let those kind of messages, you know, reach the audience that they're blessing. So I do think that we do have a responsibility to represent ourselves, because that's how people outside of our group are going to perceive us. A lot of times they base their expectations of us off of movies they've seen, off of a television show they watched, off of a book they read about gay people or Black people. So we really have to take our images and our representation a lot more seriously, because it really does shape and inform so many people.
Now, Robert, you're still on the line, obviously, and I know Wiley. Are you there, Wiley?
Yes, darling, I'm here.
I have a question for both of you guys, since you're both Black content creators, and I know, Robert, I throw you in that category because I have been following you on Facebook. And I know that the past year or so, you've been heavily involved in the content creating scene.
Yes.
And making it right. So I'm wondering for you both, and perhaps we'll let the lady go first here. Question for you both. What makes a good film? I mean, what makes a film great for you? Are there certain qualities that you find make a film better? Wiley, you take that question first, and Robert, you follow up.
What makes it really good for me is knowing that if you have ideas and you saw it through to the end and you didn't let anything deter you from expressing what you wanted people to say. So as long as you say exactly what you want, then it's going to be a great film.
And Robert, what do you think of that? What makes a film great for you?
You know, one thing that really gives me so much passion about documentaries is that I've seen countless times where watching a documentary has completely opened someone's eyes or has completely changed their mind about something that they were so sure about before watching it. You know, documentaries like The 13th, for example, or documentaries like Bowling for Columbine, you know, they're very influential, and I think it's powerful that you can, in the context of entertainment, inform and educate people and get them to open their eyes and be more informed. I think that's powerful. I think we can change the world with well-done documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert, let me ask you, the writer of this project, Congo Cabaret, Claude McKay, Forgive my ignorance because I didn't do the research on this particular aspect before asking. Is he involved in the process at all, assuming that he's still living? Is he involved in this project?
I don't think he's alive anymore. I have to Wikipedia that.
Right?
But, you know, the cool thing about the Harlem Renaissance is, you know, like Langston Hughes, you know, their work lives on, and so many other people were inspired that you really, you have all that you need to allow their work to influence you. Claude McKay is a Jamaican-born man who came here to New York, and he was gay, but he came across as very masculine. But for his time, the things that he wrote, he featured homosexuals in a affectionate light for the first time. You know, typically is demonized or made criminal. And he's the first one to kind of make a nod towards this kind of underground gay scene, and he leaves it with a very positive tone to it, which is very unique for that time.
And Robert, let me ask you this, because one thing I've noticed that Hollywood is doing now, I use the term gay agenda, and let me explain, especially for the readers, listeners, not that I am, because everybody who knows me knows, and if you don't know, I'm definitely not homophobic, but I feel that sometimes Hollywood will include gay narratives, and it works in the context of the story. It pushes the narrative forward. Perhaps it centers on, you know, a gay leading hero, and that works. But oftentimes I feel like and this is when I use the word gay agenda, when they will throw in a gay character and it feels like a gimmick. Do you ever feel that when you see gay characters depicted on screen, television, videos, whatever the case may be, that it's not pushing the narrative or driving the narrative, it's actually used as a gimmick or shock value? And how do you feel about that?
Well, first off, I think there's a gay agenda, there's a black agenda, there's a woman agenda, there's a man agenda. Hollywood and film is used to form opinions and to guide us along on how it socializes us. So yes, there is a, you know, they make things like what's a good example? Tu Wong Fu is a great example, or I would even say The Fifth Element, in my opinion. Or if you want to go even further back, you can look at a lot of Disney films, and a lot of the villains were clearly effeminate men. But at the same time, in 2016, Moonlight came out, and I thought the characters in Moonlight were very well formed, multi-dimensional characters. They were dynamic. And I did not feel that same sense of gimmick that I typically feel when I see a gay character. So I feel like there's hope. I feel like there's other people out there thinking, but definitely stay quote unquote woke. You know, there's a lot of I call them spineless characters. You know, they don't have an agenda of their own. They're just there as a token. And we see this with women a lot, too. You know, women don't really have, like, they hardly have a name for the character. You know, they're just there in support of a male character, and they don't have a life of their own or a mind of their own or a will of their own. You know, and I see that with a lot of black characters as well, and a lot of queer characters that are introduced.
And really quickly before we take a break, let me throw one more question to you, Robert and Wiley. Robert, we'll start with you. As a black content creator, again, let me even just take black out of it. As a content creator, what films or directors or writers have been most inspiring or influential to you, and why?
Oh, that's such a good question. I am a big Darren Aronofsky fan. He did Black Swan, Pi, The Wrestler, Requiem for a Dream is probably one of his most famous. I just like psychological thrillers, and I like films that take place inside of the character as opposed to, like, let's watch the character do things. But I'm also really inspired by documentary filmmakers like Michael Moore. You know, he does a great job of blending his personal life with the political world, and he does a great job of creating compelling stories based off of his personal experience, and he shows us through documentary how it can impact all of us. And I think it's just so influential the way he does that.
Mm-hmm. And Wiley, how about you? What films have been most inspiring or influential to you, and why?
I really appreciate the dark, demented films. So I like Dark City, and I like Missing, or anything that has to deal with somewhat supernatural beliefs, and that have to deal with us dealing with those supernatural beliefs. So The 13th Floor or The Matrix, just having us confront our beliefs is pretty much where we're at. That's what I fall under.
Mm-hmm. And can I say one more?
Go ahead. Absolutely.
I have a huge director crush on Ava DuVernay. Oh my God.
Okay.
She is amazing. First off, it's so rare for any director. The only other person I can think of is Spike Lee, who does both documentaries and narrative films. And then on top of that, I feel like everything she does is exactly what we need. It's like everything, like Queen Sugar is amazing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I definitely want to grow up to be Ava DuVernay when I grow up.
Speaking of Ava DuVernay, everyone, including listeners, you guys may have heard a couple weeks ago a Twitter user posted a picture of Lupita Nyong'o. I know I'm pronouncing her last name wrong, but let's just say Lupita. Lupita and Rihanna sitting front row at a fashion show, a Paris fashion show. I think the photo was snapped last year. Well, the user captioned the photo saying that Rihanna looks like she scams rich white men, and Lupita looks like her savvy, nerdy assistant who helps her rob rich white men. Well, this Twitter film went viral. Lupita caught wind of it. She tagged Ava in the tweet. She tagged Rihanna in the tweet. Black Twitter decided that Ava needed to direct the project, and Insecure writer-director Issa Rae needed to write the project. Netflix caught wind of it, and Netflix has bought the rights of this Twitter film. And Rihanna, Lupita are going to star in this film. Ava is going to direct it, and Issa Rae is going to write it. How awesome is that? Proving once
Very
again
awesome.
That, right? It kind of goes back to what Wiley said during her segment, the importance of social media and how social media is changing the game and influencing Hollywood. So there we have that. Redbeard is coming up, listeners. I want to thank my guest today, Wiley the screenwriter, Robert. I'm going to put you guys on hold right quick and confer with you low-key on the Facebook messaging, because my co-host has his segment coming up right now. He's got a we have a caller. We have two people calling in from 708. Are these all your folks? Okay, these are all my co-host folks that are going to be joining on the Indy 15 coming up. Before we go to break, I want to spill some tea, listeners, allegedly. Tom Cruise, he's got this movie coming out, The Mummy, which looks great. I can't wait to see it. Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe, well, let me back up. Cruise wasn't allowed to talk to Russell Crowe on the set of The Mummy, allegedly. That's what I read online, so I hit up my contact. I find out, contact, is this correct? Tom Cruise wasn't allowed to talk to Russell Crowe? Well, according to the rumor, according to my contact, it's true. It's not that Crowe and Russell dislike each other. They do. It's just, you know, per his Scientology contract, his life contract with Scientology, Tom Cruise is only allowed to be, quote-unquote, nice to people. Don't be friendly. Just be nice. Don't have conversations. Just be nice. Meanwhile, Russell Crowe is denying that he's hooked up with Tom Cruise's ex, Nicole Kidman. There's rumors circulating that Russell Crowe and Kidman were a love item at one point, but Hollywood is whispering that Nicole is actually creeping with Lisa Bonet's fine husband, Jason Momoa. The two of them recently got together to shoot a film overseas, And in between takes and in between downtime, allegedly, they are getting it in. That's my tea for this hour. We're going to take a break. I mean, shout out to Nicole. I've met Nicole. I've interviewed Nicole. She's absolutely stunning in person. The screen doesn't do. I mean, I find her pleasant to look at on screen, but in person, I think she's absolutely stunning. That porcelain skin and that frail body, I don't know. It works for me. So there we have it. Hollywood Hustle Show. Robert, thank you for joining me. I'm going to put you on hold and confer with you in the notes. I mean, low key, to see if you want to come back. I'm not sure if we'll have if we can come back the next hour, but I will see if we have time. The next segment is going to run for about 15 minutes, but I'll see if you guys want to come back on with some parting words. But in the meantime, like Robert said, you got 4 hours to get on his Kickstarter page and donate to the Cabaret and, oh God, Robert, give it to me. My brain fart.
Congo Cabaret.
Congo Cabaret. Look it up on Kickstarter. Donate, support the cause. Hollywood Hustle Show, folks, we will be right back. Robert, if I don't speak to you again on live on air, thank you for joining me this Friday, and you have a lovely weekend.
I will. I'll be here.
Awesome. Robert's going to stay with us. Redbeard is coming up with his Indie 15. I know he's got people on the line. We're going to take a quick break, a really quick song here, folks, and I'll come right back.
Cause we shared the same birthday. By God's grace, I know the way things are. It's hard for y'all to smile. It's easier to have a stale face. Yeah, I know the way things are. People fake smile. All up in your face. Stay like me, yeah, but do the uncut we. Down the rugged road. Dust your shoulders off. Make sure you smile when you're down. Reminisce, smile, and laugh. Don't be ashamed. Yeah, because the smile is on some hat. With the Lord now, yeah, I know they smiling down. I'm trying to make them proud, and when I do, I'll smile. My papa left too soon, and he didn't smile about it. I swear it felt like ether, snatching out my soul to a land of God, down a yellow brick road. I'm gonna use this gift I hold to make your smile shine like gold. And think about the loved ones and smile and let them know. They made you happy. I'm gonna honor that. We know you're smiling down. Just know we're smiling back. Keep the women smiling. Keep the kids smiling. The love got us smiling. Love keep us smiling. Frown now, smile later. Catch a smile from a hater. Keep the women smiling. Keep the kids smiling. The love got us smiling. Love keep us smiling. Frown now, smile later. Gonna smile at a hater. Smile. I wanna make the world smile. I wanna see people smile. White people, let me see you smile. Black people, let me see you smile. Racism, race, is it gonna stop me from smiling? You still breathing? Put a smile on your face. For the dead, put a smile on your face. Through the pain, put a smile on your face. I wanna make the world smile. Smile for me now. I wanna see people smile. Smile for me. White people, let me see you smile. Smile for me. Black people, let me see you smile. Smile for me. Racism, race isn't gonna stop me from smiling. You still breathing? Put a smile on your face. For the dead, put a smile on your face. Through the pain, put a smile on your face. Smile for me now.
Yeah, Hollywood Hustle Show. We are down to the last 18 minutes of the show. Again, I want to thank my guest today, Wiley the screenwriter, and my boy Robert. My boy Robert, we're just laughing offline because he and I have, we've been Facebook friends for quite some time, and we've, you know, had heated discussions about various social issues and, you know, but we're glad to finally connect on the show. And he told me that his campaign received a donation, hopefully by someone. And since he's been on the show this hour, his campaign has just received a donation, hopefully by one of our listeners. Again, you still have time, Robert Congos. You know, I want to say it right. Okay, let me pull up my notes. This is what happens when you drink too much spiked lemonade and iced tea. You can't remember anything. Congo Cabaret. Kickstarter, there's still time to donate to that cause. On the line, my co-host Redbeard. It's time for his Indy 15, 646-668-8342, guys. You can still call in. He has a guest on the line. Let me go ahead and plug in his guest. I believe this is his guest. Boom, is that you?
I'm here.
All right, so we're going to have Redbeard take over right now for the next 10 or 15 minutes or show, so on the show. To talk about the Indy 15 hustle and how that works and how indie artists can get involved. And Boom is his first guest. Take it away, Redbeard.
What's good? What's good out there, world? It's your boy, Redbeard, the one and only. You are now listening to the Indy 15 on the Hollywood Hustle Show. And just to give you a little insight on the Indy 15, it's basically a spotlight on indie artists where we focus on their music, their skill, their talents, whatever it is that they got going on right now that's trying to get them to the next level in their career. So right now I got somebody on the line with me that I've known for over 10 years, worked with bro for many of years on music. We've been on tour. We went out of states together, a lot of stuff. This man is a true serious artist and a true serious worker when it comes down to the things he's trying to get accomplished. Give a huge welcome to my man King Boomer. What's good, Brody?
What's going on, y'all? What's going on?
What's the word, man? How you be? How you been?
I've been good. I've been living, man. I've been blessed, grateful.
That's what I like to hear. That's exactly what I like to hear, man. So for the people that's out there listening right now, tell them a little bit about King Boomer. Not too many. It's people listening right now that know about you, but then there's people who don't. For the ones that don't, tell them about King Boomer.
Okay, well, King Boomer, you know what I'm saying, he came from a rough start, first of all, okay?
Okay?
He came from a super rough start at the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Everything was rocky. Everything was not working, you know what I'm saying? So he come off rough at times, you
okay.
know what I'm saying? So
okay.
I have evolved into something bigger than that, which I have an off-brand now, which is King Royal. I'm King Royal now because I feel like I'm royalty. So
okay.
I'm switching. It's a growth period. You know what I'm saying? King Boomer was mostly as a childhood, teenage age. That was those days. Now King Royal is the grown man now. You know what I'm saying? I got things to explain
right.
now. I got a few bills to pay. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Right. It was all, so I understand it's like a growth thing. As a youngster, you were probably Prince Boomer. And
right,
then
right.
as the teenage,
right.
you evolved into King Boomer. And now that
Correct.
You're the grown up, it's the royalty stage of it. I got
Correct.
You. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you know how everybody got, hey, Simba had to become king one day, right? Simba
right.
had to become king one day. I mean, it was sad as it did, he had to die off, but he had to become king one day, right?
he had to eventually grow up and become king. Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now, as far as the music, bro, because, you know, we get down on the music tough, okay?
Yeah,
we go back some years when it come down to the music, and we make some dope music. But as far as King Booma on the music side, tell us a little bit about the music that you've been working on.
Well, the music that I've been working on lately right now, my main market is the grown and sexy women. Not only just grown and sexy, but responsible and mature women. You get what I'm saying? Everybody, the women that got two jobs, okay, that's working, they come home, they feeding the kids, they ain't got time to really enjoy themselves because they getting things ready for tomorrow to do it again. That's my main artist now, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that's who I'm attracting right now. I got a few joints coming out right now. I got Like I Do featuring Houston right now. That's probably my next big major project. That's what I'm working on right now. And then I still have my little offside where I still come a little bit greedy, you know, gritty at times. So I got another song called Get It. And I'm dropping that. I should be dropping that in like another month or so. It's hard. It kind of gives off a nice little rock mixed with hip hop, you know. But mainly right now, my mainstream right now is just basically hip hop and R&B. That's all I'm doing right now.
All right, bet. Yeah, because I know a couple of the R&B joints that we rocked out in the past, bro. You did your thing on. So I'm already knowing that what you got planned for the future is going to be serious.
For sure, that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love, Red. That's a lot of love, right?
Bro, you know how we get down, bro. I ain't gonna show you nothing, but when you come on the Indy 15, it's nothing but love. You ain't gonna get no hate, no shade, no nothing from me. It's nothing but love. This is a platform where we want everybody to be able to relate to the artist, and the only way you're gonna get that is by showing love. So definitely. Now, right now, what I want to do is, bro, give the people a little sample of how you get down on the music side. We getting ready to drop this joint. You want to introduce it?
I mean, it depends on what joint you dropping. What you dropping right now, Red?
Man, you know I got so many of yours, but I got this one joint, My Whole World, right now.
Oh, My Whole World, that's my favorite. My Whole World, that's featuring me, King Booma, with Shauna, one of my up-and-coming young artists. She off the chain, y'all. But, you know what I'm saying? We're going to redo it. We're going to do a whole remix to it. But, yeah, this is My Whole World. It's my heart, y'all. Y'all got to check it out.
Check it out. Here we go on the Indy 15, My Whole World, King Booma featuring Shauna.
It's 223. We in the building. My round the way chick, BKA my main chick. Keep me spacious when we can just date tip. She want relations, but I'm screaming patience. Got her own conversations, got me contemplating. To jump right in without the hesitation. In tight situations, just between us. The love or the lust, the feelings and the trust. If one door opens, the old one shuts.
My whole damn world is you. Can't nobody do.
Just a little taste, right?
Yeah.
Y'all can't give them all of it. I can't give them all of it, bro.
I can't give them all of it. They're going to have to shop that one. I like that, though, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. That's from the heart. I tried to mix it with a little bit of LL Cool J's Round the Way Girl. Mixed with a little Ja Rule's What Would I Be Without You. So I tried to, like, blend that. That's the feel I was trying to get off of it, though. But, you know,
it's off the tank, bro. It's got substance to it, exactly. So now, outside of the music, I know you've been doing a little acting as well. Why don't you tell the people that's listening right now about what you've been got going on with the acting?
Well, I got three films I'm starring in right now. I got September Rain. That's actually that movie dropping September 16th exactly. The movie premiere is going to be on the north side of Chicago. It's going to be off the chain. I want to describe it, but it's kind of hard to describe because it's so action packed. But then it's drama. It's so much drama mixed in this film. Okay. It's filmed by Cassandra Bell Studios.
Okay.
Off the chain, wonderful woman. She's all over the city. I mean, everybody reach out to her, Cassandra Bell. September Rain is the movie. Oh my God! It's like I wanna compare it to so many different films, but the best film that I can compare it to is probably Set It Off. But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Set It Off had like four females, and this one got six, and it got way more fighting scenes, way more thriller. You feel me?
Okay.
So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that September Rain, which is dropping this year, September 16th. Be on the lookout for it.
Definitely be on the lookout for that.
I'm in a film called New Black Day. That's shot by Design Williams. Off the chain. He kind of got it set up where you can see like the urban part of the city, but it has a crazy twist to it. You know, it got all different type of ethnicities and different problems that everybody go through. I play a major role inside of this. I can't really reveal what that is right now because it's definitely going to be at the African Film Expo, though. You definitely can check it out at that. That's this October.
Nice.
So that's definitely on the move right now. And then I'm working. I'm also on another film called Hard. That's next. I'm working with Dusan Stanford right now. And he's putting this crazy film together about how you can lose everybody in the blink of an eye and then still be the only one still standing with so much hate and heart and stress on your body. You feel me? So definitely look out for that one because it's going to be well felt.
Okay. That's what I like to hear. The man is working, y'all. As you can see, he's working. So now to close things out with you, what you got going on next? What's the newest thing outside of the movies? Anything? Because I know you just did a gala not too long ago. Anything on the big stage that you're working on?
Well, on the big stages right now, I'm going out of town in 2 weeks. I'm going off to New York City. I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to go see like three Broadway shows. I'm going to the Tony Awards. I get a chance to check out and chill with a lot of the stars, you know. And then when I come back, as soon as I come back, I'm filming in Waka Flocka's new movie, Mollywood. So
nice.
Definitely be on the lookout for that. So I got a lot of things talking right now, man. I'm trying to take over the world slowly.
A busy man. That's exactly how you're supposed to be. So why don't you tell the listeners out there where they can follow you at so they can keep in tune with your movement?
Well, y'all can keep in tune. I make sure I post everything on my Instagram always. That's King_Royal_17. You can find me on that. Also, I do a lot on Snapchat. Everything is on Snap, so you can follow every step on Snap. That's Tupac2K17. So you can find me on that. That's just for mostly the fans. A lot of the big stuff is mostly Facebook and Jonte Richmond, pretty much Jonte at Richmond at anything.
All right, so you say that Snapchat because I know you do a lot of stuff on your Snapchat. Shoot that Snapchat link out one more time.
Snapchat is that King_Royal17.
King_Royal17. And
also, you can also grab it as Tupac. I got Tupac 2K17. So you definitely can follow me on all.
So that's King_Royal17 and Tupac 2K17.
Awesome. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
make sure y'all follow him.
I have a question before we hang up. This is Nye, a.k.a. Nye Hollywood. Thank you for joining the show today. Really quickly before we hang up, speaking of social media, how important is social media to your branding efforts? You know, you don't have
pretty
a
much
big... Social, yeah, go ahead.
Social media is a major, major, major. I can't stress it enough on how major social media is to a lot of people's careers because, I mean, that's what everybody refers to. Everybody has their phone in their hand 24/7. and 23 hours of that is on social media. So that's where we follow majority of our news. That's where we get everything from. If you want to get something out ASAP, social media is where to do it at.
Definitely is. It definitely is. So, with that being said, man, once again, this is my artist, not my artist, but my first artist on the Indy 15, King Boomer. And you, I hope you guys follow those links, Tupac, 2K17 on Snapchat, King_Royal17 on Instagram. Get in tune with this brother. And check us out next week on the Indy 15, where we'll have more exciting artists, more art, actors. Whatever your craft is, get at me so you can get your spotlight, man. This your boy Redbeard. I'm signing out. Make sure y'all follow me at Redbeard43. It don't matter what social media platform. Get at your boy. Yikes!
All right, and we thank our guests. We thank Redbeard for the show. We thank Boom for joining us on the show today. Like Redbeard said, the Indy 15 is all about celebrating artists who, you know, aren't necessarily A-list or household names, but they're out here hustling. That's what the Hollywood Hustle Show is all about. Wally, the screenwriter, I thank her, my guest earlier at the top of the hour. Robert, again, check out. You still have time to donate to his about 4 hours, or maybe there's three, a little bit less than 3 hours to go in his Congo Cabaret Kickstarter campaign about queers in the Harlem Renaissance. Check that out. I want to thank them both for joining the Hollywood Hustle Show today. Of course, my last little bit of tea that I'm going to spill before we hang up, with 3 minutes left in the show. They're telling me that Brandy, singer Brandy, is pregnant. These are the rumors, right? Online rumors. She herself is even, or has, I don't know if she's cleared it up in this hour, but last I checked, Brandy was fueling rumors that she's pregnant by her her new boyfriend, who allegedly, apparently, they're whispering he's married. I don't know. Brandy sure can pick him. I mean, in the past, she has talked about her struggles with finding love, specifically black love. Girlfriend needs to date out. She needs to open up her window, her world, okay? Stop seeing the viewing the world through the lenses of, you know, just one specific type, one gender type. I think she's bizarre, but she, over the years, has been complaining that she's had no luck with black men, and now they're telling me she's pregnant by a married one. And if it's true, my contacts are whispering, then why is she still boozing it up and popping pills? So if Brandy's still pregnant, no, not still pregnant, if Brandy is pregnant, they're telling me that she's got a pill problem and an alcohol problem, and God help the baby, okay? God save the queen and God help the baby, the married man's baby, right? That'll be a whole album worth of content if Brandy is dating or has fallen in love with a married man and she's pregnant by him. We can expect that he will break her heart. You know, if she continues on the path, if her dating history repeats itself, he will break her heart, and then she will have a new album's worth of material, right? I just got the alert from the Blog Talk Radio operator that keeps tabs on my show that I have 90 seconds left, people. So this has been the Hollywood Hustle Show. Happy Friday. Next week, Wednesday, June, well, my Wednesday show, I'll have a fabulous guest, a journalist, book author, content creator, hustling her way through Hollywood. She'll be joining us. And then June, I have a great lineup of guests starting in June. So again, you guys enjoy your weekend. 60 seconds left in the show. I've got a buffet of ribs waiting for me in the front room. I'm going to go devour this rib buffet dinner that's been prepared for us today. Wiley, the screenwriter, again, thank you for joining us. Robert, again, thank you for joining us. If you just tuned into the show late, a replay will be made available about an hour after this show. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Hollywood Hustle Show. Get back with me next Wednesday. Of course, if you want to be a guest on the show, hit me up, NyeMcGee1@gmail.com. Check out my Instagram, NyeMcGee. And, of course, Facebook me, writer NyeMcGee. This has been the Hollywood Hustle Show, people. Redbeard, oh, you want something to say? Go ahead, Redbeard.
Man, make sure y'all follow me. You can't follow her without following me. It's your boy Redbeard. Follow me, Redbeard438 on any social media platform, especially if you're trying to get in tune with the Indy 15. Holla at me.
Happy weekend, everyone.